and welcome to episode 411 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. I'm your host, Mark Kuznez. And yeah, I've got some games to talk about. Big surprise there this here day before Thanksgiving and the day before Black Friday and the day before the day before the day before Small Business Saturday and the day before 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 Cyber Monday, I think. I don't know. Who really cares? Cyber Monday is kind of meaningless at this point because online retailers start all their deals on Black Friday or during Thanksgiving or already have started them, and they just sort of go on until the end of the month. So, whatever. I've got most of my shopping done thanks to Best Buy having most of their deals available early for elite Best Buy members and whatnot. Though it is annoying that of all the deals, the one I want most from them wasn't available, and that was Disgaea 5 for the Nintendo Switch. That was not shown as being discounted and was sold out the entire time, so that was a bit frustrating. And then a nice surprise was Gamefly putting out their deals yesterday, I think, and having a lot of prices that were a little bit or a lot a bit cheaper than the various retail stores were going to be having their deals at in the following days. And if you've never purchased from Gamefly, the nice thing about them and their used games compared to something like GameStop or what have you is that you will always get the case, and the case will always be in perfect, like new condition, because what do you think they do? They don't give you the case when you rent a game, so they just remove the game from the case and then put the case away, and it stays nice and clean and crisp and beautiful. And for the most part, I don't think I've ever had a game come with a lot of scratches, and often they come with very few, if any. They also look fairly well kept. And I'm guessing they're rental copies, but I don't know. Maybe just people who use Gamefly are more gentle with the way they handle games compared to the way people who use Redbox handle games and movies, and those who use the library. At least you'll never end up with a photocopy if you purchase a used game from Gamefly. That's nice. So I got a handful of things from them as well, like Resident Evil 7 for $13.50 and Lego Worlds for $13.50. It's only $1.50 cheaper than Target, but I knew it was in stock, and a buck here, a buck there, a buck everywhere. Anywho, I've got games to talk about. Like I said, I have Songbringer, More Fight, and Raiders of a Broken Planet. Raiders of the Broken Planet. Not just a broken planet, it is the broken planet. And yeah, I'll talk about those shortly. First, though, I want to talk about Sherlock, the BBC series that stars Benedict Cumberbatch and, I can't think of his name now, Hobbit in the Hobbit movies, Martin Short. Is that his name? I think something like that, right? Yeah, it's something like that.
He's a ninja.
Shing. It's not Martin Short. It's Martin Freeman. How I could ever think it was Martin Short and not question myself immediately as I listen back to this while editing. I hate myself so much. Oh God. And I before I even went to Martin Freeman, I was like, wait, that's not Martin Short. Obviously, it's not Martin Short. It's Martin Starr. And then I was like, no, Martin Starr is the dude from Silicon Valley and Amerin Sam. And he was in Stranger Things, no, Spider-Man Homecoming. And also, of course, Freaks and Geeks. But me, you're so dumb, me. You're so dumb.
He's a ninja. Shing.
Anywho, finally watched it, finished it. It was pretty good, but like many said, the fourth series was very underwhelming, very disappointing. the middle episode, the second episode, was solid, but the two that sandwiched it together were just awful. It was a very poorly put together season, and I don't know if it'll ever come back, because I don't know if it was, if they ever mentioned that they were going to do more after this, or if this was planning to be the final season. And if that is the case, it's kind of sad that it went out on such a subpar note. But the first three seasons were very solid. I didn't love it at any point. There were some times that it was very entertaining, but I kind of feel like with almost every episode, which, and if you've never watched it, each episode is basically a little movie coming in at about an hour and a half each time, 89 minutes or so. I think they might fluctuate by a few minutes here or there, but I think in almost every case, the series could have benefited from a bit of tightening up, and if each episode was more around 75 or so minutes, if they cut out about 15 minutes, I think it would have been slightly better. I just wish they were a bit tighter. Not that an hour and a half is too long or anything, especially if you're considering them to be each little mini movies. I just think that while watching them, they kind of dragged at times, and I felt like, well, they should probably wrap it up around here, but there's still a half hour left, so I'm going to have to watch this play out for a bit longer than I would like. But it was solid. It's on Netflix if you've not seen it. So yeah, check it out. I also did not really care for the Christmas episode or the holiday episode. It was just kind of retreading things and playing up things and trying to be funny and maybe push a feminist female equality agenda that I don't think it really did a great job of doing that. But a solid series, not amazing or anything though. So moving on to the games and all that jazz. Songbringer. This is a game I kind of had my eye on, and when I saw it was on sale for $10, 50% off on Xbox One. I can't remember if it was on sale as part of the weekly deals or if it's part of the Black Friday deal, so it may or may not still be on sale. Regardless, I picked it up. I've been playing it for a good bit, probably around 3 hours at this point, and I've been enjoying it for the most part. It is a sort of Zelda, Castlevania, well, not Castlevania, but Metroidvania type of game. Though you could also just say it's sort of like the very first original Zelda game, because the way it's set up is you are this adventurer from space or whatever, and you crash land on this planet, and you come across this sword very early on, and they say, don't take this sword. Bad things are going to happen if you take the sword. But of course you're going to take the sword, because I think in the main game you have to take the sword. But in the rogue-like version, the mode where you can play and if you die you have to start over from the very beginning, I believe you can go through that entire mode without picking up the sword, which just adds an extra challenge to it. But I'm not sure if you can do that in the just regular difficulty mode. That said, you get your sword, and then you're just traversing this area grid by grid. Each little map point is filled with some hidden areas, little caves and what have you, enemies, which if you die, they'll respawn, but until you die, the enemies don't respawn. And you can use this to your advantage if you want to grind and build up the various gems for currency to purchase items at various stores and whatnot. But you're just going through the environment, exploring, finding secrets, and making your way to one of the game's 8, I believe, dungeons. And little bits of the story are revealed. And it's a very simple game. It has that whole pixel art aesthetic, which is nice. It looks nice and it runs well. The story is fine. I don't really care about the story, but it's just an enjoyable little game where you go around this little world and kill enemies, explore these dungeons that are not that complicated, but deliver a decent enough challenge, in part because the combat, the weakest part of the game is the combat, because the way the camera is situated is that it's somewhat isometric, so it's not completely over the top and not side-scrolling, and because of that, when you're attacking enemies, you have to get fairly close to them, almost up on them, and it is very easy to accidentally run into an enemy, and doing so will take a little bit off of your health, and that can be frustrating to just lose a little bit of health because you're trying to attack an enemy and you can't really see the space between you and the enemy, and you just accidentally run into them. But when you complete dungeons, I mean, basically, I haven't finished the game, but you're just going through this world completing dungeons, and it's fun. When you complete a dungeon, you get an extra little health shard so that you can take more damage. You will come across items in various dungeons and caverns that will help you get through other areas, like a lighter that you use to ignite these certain little poles in the world that, when lit, they go down and will let you access new areas. There are bombs that allow you to get through to other areas and so on. So it's a very traditional old school type of game in that sense, old school adventure game. And it's a fun little thing. I think $20 might be a bit much for some people to swallow, but on sale for $10, I'm very satisfied with my purchase. I don't think $20 would be too much to ask, but, you know, I'm not sure how long it is, and I don't think I'd have all that much desire to replay it in the roguelike-ish mode, unless there is more to it than just when you die, you don't respawn, you lose all your progress. If that's the only difference, then I don't see much reason to replay it. It's not the kind of game that is, the one difference, I just remember this, is that when you start your game, you type in a name or whatever you want, and based off the letters and the order and all that stuff, that will be the seed for your world. So every world will be different based upon the name you use or the words that you put together. So you can play the same world as someone else if you both use the same string of letters, etc., and share an experience that way. But if you don't do that, then everyone's experience is different. So that's a nice little thing too, I guess. So you can always get a unique experience, and if you want something a bit different, you can do that and replay it. But I don't think the game itself is strong enough to warrant replaying it. It's not, the world and all that isn't interesting enough to warrant multiple explorations of it. So far, I mean, maybe something will blow my mind, but so far I enjoy it, but I know that once I finish it, I'll say to myself, this was fun. This was a pleasant little thing, but I don't ever have to play this again. Which sounds more negative than I think I want it to sound, but hopefully people understand what I'm saying. Moving on, though. So, the other game I played just a smidgen of is Morphite. And I'm playing this on Xbox One. Picked it up for $10 or so. It's regularly $15. And I think it's on PC as well. I'm not sure about PS4. It is basically No Man's Sky, but not as grand, because you can't, at least at this point, I have not been given the ability to fly around myself. The way it works is that you have a map and then you pick a planet or a spaceship or something, and you select that as your destination, and then you are just transported there, and you will land on a planet in your little pod off of your ship, and then you will go around and explore, scanning things and creatures, killing them, because what else is there to do, and just exploring the world, finding new items and little bits of history, then selling those bits of information you get to upgrade yourself and maybe your ship or whatnot. But I don't know if there is a strong hook in the game based on my little bit of time with it. I've played through, I think, just the first mission after the bit of tutorial in the very beginning where you're sent to this first planet and you're just going around scanning everything, finding this underground type of temple thing and getting a bit of information there. And then returning to this space station where I think you're grandfather or uncle or someone you're related to is like, hey, okay, you did a good job, now you gotta go do all this thing. So there's more story in it than in No Man's Sky, and there's voice acting in it, which is okay, but I didn't find the bits of story that I've seen so far all that interesting. The problem with the game, though, is that one, visually, it's very stylized in a very polygonal way. Very, very simple. Sort of like Proteus and those games, but even more simplified than that. It's very, very sharp with a lot of sharp edges and not a lot of detail. But it doesn't look bad. It's just not the most beautiful game, and the color palette so far is very limited, and it seems like it's going to be full of a lot of pastel-ish colors and not even that many in that sense. It feels like it's going to be heavily weighted towards blues, reds, pinks, purples, all in that kind of side of the color scheme, color gamut. But the biggest problem with the game is that there are all these pieces of vegetation and plant life and creatures and all this jazz in the game, but they're all, while seemingly the same, they're also often different in very minimal ways, and it allows you to scan them, and it just turns into a scan fest, because I scanned plants that looked exactly the same, and I probably scanned the same plant maybe close to 10 times, and it would just be like, this is a fragile version of a one, this is a normal, this is a strong one, this is a weak one, this is a curved one, this is a etc. Just add a new adjective before whatever name of plant here, and you just keep scanning them, and you get all these new scans that you can then sell, and that's good, I guess, because you're getting more things that you can sell and make money off of, currency off of, whatever the hell the currency is. I haven't actually been able to upgrade or do anything at this point yet, but the fact that there are all these variations of the same plant or animal or whatever, it's just a bit much. And I know people could say, well, then you don't need to scan it. You can tell that you've already scanned this thing. But at the same point, the whole game is about scanning these things, because that is your currency. You're not collecting other things you can sell. The only thing you can sell so far, from what I can see, are scans. And yeah, I feel like there's potential in the game, and maybe it'll open up as I play more, but so far it just feels like it's going to be a game where you're just going around scanning the shit out of everything. You kill creatures when you run into them, after you scan them, of course, and I don't even remember what happened after I killed them. I don't think they gave me anything. It was just the scan of them before I killed them, so I don't even know if I had to kill them, but it seems like it just seems very limited at this point. I know I've only played a very little bit, but that initial impression was very negative for me, because I just was like scanning all these things, and I couldn't believe when I was in this little temple building that had all these vines hanging that were all the same thing. They just looked the same and were clearly the same. It was just like, okay, this is a different kind of the same vine. Here's another one. It's the same vine. It's just a little bit different. Here's another one. It's a little bit different, a little bit different, a little bit different. And it's just infuriating, because I was just scanning, 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 scanning. But, you know, I don't know. It makes me just wish No Man's Sky was on Xbox One, because I know people like to shit on that game, But I really enjoyed it. I would like to at some point go back to it on PS4 because I haven't touched it since all the various updates that added the base building and some other things. So I'd like to see what the game looks like now. But I like the game. Sure, it didn't look as great as the first videos of it, visually speaking, but it still looked pretty good. And it was just a nice, calming, relaxing little thing. And it was significantly more open than something like Morphite, which I appreciated.
He's a ninja! Shing.
And that's one of the big differences between Morphite and No Man's Sky, which I wanted to come back here and chime in because listening back to this whole bit, I'm like, this sounds a lot like No Man's Sky because a lot of that game is scanning stuff and all that jazz. But I want to just make sure I differentiate between the two games. So one of the big differences so far is that No Man's Sky is this open thing where you can explore an entire planet. And in Morphite, I was just sent down to a very small, closed-off bit of a planet. And I could not explore outside of that small environment, which was, you know, maybe the size of a football field, if even that. And that closed-off nature of it and being very confined to this small space was frustrating. I wanted to be able to explore and find things on my own and not just be sent to a specific place that was going to have something for me to find. And also, there's not any kind of real mystery going on. There might be because there is a story, but there was a joy in No Man's Sky in learning these various alien languages and learning more about them and coming across these either abandoned stations on a planet or finding one with an alien in it, and you could have a conversation with them, and depending on how many words you've learned, you could better respond to them and, you know, not make them angry with you and then get something from that. All of those things were parts of No Man's Sky that I really enjoyed and things that are missing in Morphite from the get-go. And I just want to make sure that people know, you know, the scanning and all that stuff, that's in No Man's Sky, but it was more than just a scanning game. And since all the updates, it's even more than what it was at launch. So calm down, people. If anyone's like, hey, he's pooping on this game when it just sounds like No Man's Sky, and he's talking about how much he likes No Man's Sky, but he's, come on, okay? Cool your shorts. Take your shorts off, unless you're not wearing any underwear. But if you are wearing underwear, take your shorts off, put them in your sink, put some ice in them, let them sit, and then put them back on so that your shorts can be, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, just go back to the podcast. The Insult Ninja, where are you? I need your help.
Insult Ninja! Shing!
Morphite has made me nostalgic, and it makes me miss No Man's Sky. And then last but not least, I finally loaded up Raiders of the Broken Planet and started messing around with that. It is a free-to-play, online, four-player co-op, mission-based shooter thing. It's a very odd little thing. Something I was not expecting. I thought it was going to be more like a lot of free-to-play things, like maybe Warframe or whatever. Or maybe, I know it is kind of like Warframe, but the difference is you have various characters already set up. You don't create your own character. There are already pre-built characters who have their distinct personalities and distinct weapons and all these various characteristics. And there's more story to it. There's voice acting, and it's surprisingly pretty too. But it's a weird thing. I mean, the raid in Raiders is very apt because that's what it feels like. You go on these missions and they're broken off into little sections where you are tasked with an objective. Go do this or that. And then you end up getting to a point where you have to get to an elevator or do something. And then when you hit that point, You have a time limit to reach there before hell breaks loose so you can get to the next segment if you are playing with multiple people. And it's solid. And it is free to play, so it's worth checking out for anyone who is into third-person shooters. It's just a weird thing, and I need to put more time into it because I've only jumped in right now, today, and I'm kind of liking it, but I just don't know what to make of it at this point. I feel like, though, it hasn't gotten that much attention, and maybe people have passed on it or just saw another free-to-play game and like, whatever, I don't want to deal with this, but it is surprisingly more competent than I was expecting. I'm not sure where the purchases come in. I'm not sure because I didn't feel like I saw loot boxes or anything like that or things to purchase for my character, but that might open up later. I do know that there are story missions or like story packs that are $10 or $15 that will open up little campaigns in that way. And I don't know if that's where, like, if there's a point where you just can't play any more new missions and you have to just purchase missions, if that's the way the model is set up. But I'm intrigued and I want to see more. And the story is not very original, but it is surprisingly well voice acted and has me at least engaged in it, which is way more than I was expecting out of something like this. With a free-to-play game, I usually just skip. But I've been sitting and watching every single cutscene because they're well acted and the game's pretty. I like looking at the cutscenes. The one big problem so far, though, and I don't know if this is a tiny isolated issue that is happening right now at this very moment, but on Xbox One, which is where I'm playing it, I have been dealing with quite a bit of connectivity issues where it's not really cooperating with Xbox Live and disconnecting. And what's nice is you can play offline. You don't need to be connected, which is a huge surprise for any free-to-play game. I'm surprised that you're able to do that. But you don't earn any credits when you finish a mission. So all rewards for completing the mission are thrown out the window when playing offline. But the fact that you can play offline is nice. That said, I'm becoming a little bit frustrated with it constantly kicking me or disconnecting from the servers. And I don't know if that is something that is just happening right now or if it has been a problem since launch. So I will definitely be talking about more Raiders of the Broken Planet in following episodes. But so far, I'm surprised. I'm intrigued. I want to play more. I will play more. And I hope all these connectivity issues are just a small isolated thing and go away very fast. But I definitely think if you're a fan of third-person shooters, and especially if you have a group of friends who enjoy getting together and playing shooters together and going on little missions, it's worth checking out because it plays well. The characters are unique. I wouldn't say they all play significantly differently, but they all have their unique pros and cons. And it's very pretty, though. I think that's the thing that surprised me most. And in some respects, it reminds me a little bit of Metal Gear. And it almost just feels like this is what, in a way, a Metal Gear game could be if it was just about co-op missions and nothing else. Maybe the story will even get super crazy. But one of the characters looks like he's wearing a sneak suit and then like a little like mini kid's poncho over him. But yeah, I'm intrigued. It's Raiders of the Intriguing Broken Planet. But yeah, that will do it for today's episode. I hope y'all enjoyed it and hope y'all are having a great week so far and that you are going to have a lovely Thanksgiving and a lovely Thursday, regardless of whether you are celebrating Thanksgiving for any international listeners and whatnot. And If you are going to be venturing outside on Friday for deals, be safe, be smart, don't go crazy. And if you can, if at all possible, just stay indoors and do it online, because that's the best way to do it. And always remember, just because something's on sale doesn't mean you have to get it. So don't go too crazy. But yeah, once again, I'm your host, Mark Kuznez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, My Anime List, Steam, and all the usual places at PX Sausage on PSN. I am the Kush 3. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, the last episode of Pixelated Radio, which may or may not be recording this Sunday, and Pixelated Paranormal, which just released an episode yesterday, Tuesday. And you can also find all the art I do over there, and you can also just find it all over at pxsart.com, where you can find links to where you can purchase prints and whatnot. And if you'd like to support the site in general with a buck or two a month, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and support us that a way. Anyway, bye.
Insult Ninja! Shing.
And because I just want to give the Insult Ninja a whole bunch of work today, I'm like, you know what, Insult Ninja? I'm thankful for you, so I'm going to give you a bunch of work on today's episode. I wanted to make sure that people know, if they are at all interested in a Steam Link, there is a deal going on right now at GameStop where you can get one for $5, which is a ridiculous deal. I got one. Thankfully, I was able to go to one of my local GameStops and pick one up, because I did not want to have to pay for some other crap I didn't want to get free shipping online. So if you have a GameStop close to you, you can check to see if they have it in stock, and then you can skit one. Skit one? Yeah, you can skit one. Whatever skit is, you can do that with a Steam Link. You can also do a lot of other things. But yeah, $5 for a Steam Link is ridiculous. And I just wish the Steam controller was $5, and then I would have gotten one of those too. They tried to sell me one for $33, but I was like, no, 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 no. Okay, bye-bye.